Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming today to investigate the Dharma together. Today is Zazenkai, or one day Sesshin. And whether you're here for the day or part of the day, use every moment. The opportunity to practice the way is very rare. Let's not waste it. The Buddha said, "The mere sight of the physician is not enough. One must take the medicine." We're all here because we are sick, mired in the swamp of greed, hatred, and ignorance. We're sick even as Vimalakirti was sick in his little hut. Sick because the world is sick. So here we are in Zazenkai, taking the medicine. Today we'll take a look at a koan in the Beyan Lu. That's its Chinese name. In Japanese, it's the Hekigan Roku. And in English, the Blue Cliff Record. Beyan Lu, case 87. Yunnan said to his disciples, "Medicine and sickness cure each other. The whole earth is medicine. What is yourself?" And then Shui To's verse to this case. "The whole earth is medicine. Why have the ancients and moderns been so mistaken? I don't build the cart behind closed doors. The great way, vast and wide, is quiet and empty. Wrong, wrong. Though your nose is stuck up high as the sky, your nostrils still have been pierced." Yunmen lived at the very end of the Tang era. He died in the year 902 of the Common Era. He is said to be the last great master of what has been called the Golden Age of Zen. He's renowned for his pithy one-sentence or even one-word expressions of the Dharma. In case number 21 of the Wu Men Guan, a monk asked Yunmen, "What is Buddha?" Yunmen said, "A shit stick." In case 77 of the Beyan Lu, a monk asked Yunmen, "What is the teaching that transcends Buddhas and patriarchs?" Yunmen said, "Sesame cake." That's pretty succinct. Yunmen said to his disciples, "Medicine and sickness cure each other. The whole earth is medicine. What is yourself?" Medicine and sickness cure each other. It's a truism that medicine is medicine only for one who is genuinely ill. Otherwise, it can be a poison. A person in great pain can tolerate a dose of narcotic that would kill someone who is well. And yet, having taken the medicine and experienced the cure, there's a natural tendency to cling to the medicine, to feel threatened when it's withdrawn. We sometimes cling to a form of practice, even when it's no longer appropriate. It's not uncommon for one who has gotten through an initial koan by dint of superhuman effort to try to continue to work on subsequent koans in that same way. Makes no more sense after Kensho to try to work on Mu the way you did before Kensho than it would be to continue to take medicine after the physical illness has been resolved. It just leads to frustration and exhaustion. Practice changes with time, as does everything. Even people who complete the formal koan curriculum may feel at a loss for a while. Oh dear, No more koans to noodle around with. Now I have to get serious about practice. OMG. A few here may remember Jerry Reese. He had been a Zen Center member for several years, and he moved back east and finished his formal training with Dido Laurie. Not long ago, he was back for a short visit, and we talked a bit, and he related how at the end of the koan curriculum, he was worried. He asked Dido, "What do I do now?" Dido said, "You're fine. Go live your life." As one continues and matures in practice, one has to let go of what one has done and what has worked for a while and move on. To hang on to a particular practice form or even to a particular teacher after a certain point becomes just one more attachment. And in a like manner, while medicine is effective at the correct dosage, our typically American notion that more is always better is not the case. Even with our foundational practice of Zazen, one can OD. Paracelsus, the 16th century alchemist and pioneer in toxicology, said, "The dose makes the poison. Too much of something can be as bad or worse than none at all." Even our Zazen can become a kind of poison. It can lead to isolation and separation and a festering of dark thoughts and feelings. As some of you know, my wife Candy died years ago of complications from multiple sclerosis. There had come a time when MS had progressed to the point where she could no longer work. So she began sitting at home for anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a day. Dane and Roshi got wind of this and came over to where we were living and tore a strip, as they say. He said this was makyo, a delusion that she was indulging in, not real practice. Well, Candy managed to snap out of it, took up her artwork, and even started coming to the center occasionally. And to the end of her life, she continued to work with Dana on koans. There's a book entitled The Ground We Share. It's a record of a series of conversations between Robert Aiken Roshi and Brother David Stendelrast. In one section, they go into considerable depth about this business of practice on the mat as not separate from the practice of our lives. Understand that Brother David speaks of prayer, but we could just as easily substitute the word Zazen or meditation or Zen practice. Brother David says, everything we do should be prayer in the sense of communion with the divine reality. Brushing your teeth ought to be prayer. In this sense, prayer is another word for practice. Practice with a capital P if you want. Prayer is supposed to go on at all times, even when we're sleeping in this sense. Now, Brother David is totally correct that practice should go on at all times. But it is not always about effort. Yes, sometimes we have to grit our teeth and crush the ego with our practice, even as the Buddha recommended, but only as a last resort. But what about when we're sleeping, as Brother David says? This tells us something very important. Sleeping, waking, walking, speaking. Our practice is the Buddha's practice. It is the practice of the universe. How could it possibly stop? If we practice long enough and realize this deeply, that is when conscious effort comes to an end. It is no longer effort. Brother David continues, Prayers are a means to an end. Namely, prayers as a means to prayerfulness that should go on at all times. Unless you have prayers, unless you set aside time for nothing but prayer, or Zazen, you won't have prayerful living. The person of prayer, the true prayer, or the true practitioner, is not distinguished by the amount of time that she or he devotes to saying prayers or doing meditation, but rather by the efficient use of prayer time. True people of prayer need to say fewer prayers than others because their life itself is a prayer, is practice. There's a misconception that the more time you spend saying prayers or doing meditation, i.e. on the mat, the better. My contention is the less you need, the better. And Robert Aitken Roshi replies, the less one needs, the better. And we need a lot of prayer to reach that place. An important warning. Yes, we want our Zazen on the mat to continue as effortless Zazen in our lives. But it takes a lot of Zazen and a lot of Sesshin to reach that place. But Brother David warns us about the misconception that time on the mat is the only measure of one's practice. It's a weakness in our tradition that we can sometimes take ourselves too seriously as Zen practitioners. Something that really impressed me in India and the Tibetan monks at Bodh Gaya, which we met, was they were unfailingly cheerful. Admittedly, I would not have the patience to sit through the very long lectures by a Rinpoche or the endless chanting in Tibetan, of course. But there is a lesson to be learned. The practice of what Robert Aitken Roshi called grim samadhi is a closing off, a shutting out of the world. That's not it. Zen practice is the opening up, letting the world flow through you like the wind. Then Yunmen says, the whole earth is medicine. The whole earth is medicine. Not just your Zazen. Not just your mindfulness practice. Not just your koan work. Not just Sesshin. But the whole earth. In his commentary on this case, Yan Wu writes, one day Manjusri ordered Sudhana to pick medicinal herbs. He said, if there is something that is not medicine, bring it to me. Sudhana searched all over, but there was nothing that was not medicine. So he went back and told Manjusri, there is nothing that is not medicine. Manjusri said, gather something that is medicine. Sudhana then picked up a blade of grass and handed it to Manjusri. Manjusri held it up and showed it to the assembly, saying, this medicine can kill people and it can also bring people to life. A blade of grass. A cup of tea, a sunrise, a sudden paper cut. All are medicine, all are poison. What makes the difference? How can that which can kill instantly transform into that which brings people to life? The whole earth is medicine. Lin Ji said, there is nothing I dislike. The late Tony Packer is quoted as saying, everything is worthy of contemplation. William Blake said, see the universe in a grain of sand. The sickness we suffer is not just the usual attachments to life, likes and dislikes, sex, money, and so on, all the usual suspects. Something else happens if we're not careful. A kind of boredom sets in, an ennui, a been there, done that attitude. This can happen even in session. It's called the old hand sickness. Those of us who have been to a lot of session, oh, we know it all. This is the last round before lunch. Two rounds to go before exercise, and so on and on. We lose our sense of wonder. As we get older, we can get bored and cranky. And when that happens, the world becomes poisonous. Can you stand in line at the grocery checkout and look at all the fascinating people around you? Or do you just shift your feet, thinking of all the stuff you have to do and getting pissed off at the person ahead of you for standing in the express checkout with more than 15 items in their cart? Or what about taking a number at the post office or at the motor vehicle department or cleaning toilets in session? Medicine or poison? It's a conscious choice. It is our choice to practice or not to practice. It is the only real choice that we have. One of the things I have always admired about Dainin Roshi, our abbot emeritus, he appreciates people. Every time I see him, he has a story about someone he met in the mountains or about a student from Santa Fe or about Kiki, this terribly damaged child that Susan Kay recently adopted. And he tells it with humor and with wonder. Everyone he meets is medicine. And Yunmin continues, what is yourself? What is yourself? What is Mu? Where is your face before your parents were born? Who am I? We do this practice to find that out. And if we have some degree of insight into that question, then we work to deepen that insight. In any sitting, we are in a degree of isolation, and we spend a lot of time on the mat. That's important. We need to work hard to see clearly the self nature. But that is only the beginning. We need to step forward from the top of the 100-foot pole to take our practice into the world for the benefit of all beings. In fact, we do not really see the self-nature in all its wonder until we gain the wherewithal to come forth in the world with joy, compassion, and a deep gratitude for our lives in time, space, and karma. Then our whole body manifests in the 10 direction, and then the whole world becomes medicine. Then we have Shui Do's verse. I'll go through it line by line and make comments or wisecracks, depending on how you look at it. The whole earth is medicine. Comment. Only if you take it in and chew it thoroughly. Why have ancients and moderns been so mistaken? Comment. Sickness? A mistake. Medicine? A mistake. How so? I don't build the cart behind closed doors. Comment. Don't make up stuff about Buddhism in your mind. Anything you build or construct there is useless. The great way, vast and wide, is quiet and empty. Comment. Get out of your head. That's where all the noise is. Wrong, wrong. Comment. You say you understand? Wrong. You say you don't understand? Wrong. Though your nose is stuck up high as the sky, your nostrils have still been pierced. Comment. As long as you are thinking of merit, you are being led around like an ox. When we no longer look to our zazen as medicine, we no longer have to consider ourselves as sick in some way and needing a cure. From the very beginning, each of us is perfect, whole and complete, just as we are. We are fundamentally enlightened. All we have to do is practice that enlightenment. How? No. Why? Just breathing. Just sitting. Just continue. Together with all beings, we realize the way.